This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Pets Allowed. You're here with Kevin and Kate from the Lost Dogs Home. Today on Pets Allowed, we are bringing you the second installment of our spring specials.
Last week, it was all about getting out the feather duster and preparing your home and your garden and a happy and healthy environment for your pets for the warmer months coming up. But today we're going to talk through what we can do for our pets, what we can do as responsible owners to prepare our dogs and cats for the warm weather.
With the nation voting tomorrow, we're going to look at taking your pet along to the election polling as well. But we want to know what you've got planned for this weekend after you cast your vote. So what have you got planned with your pooch or your cat this weekend? Find us on Twitter, Lost Dogs Home, or on Facebook as well. But also coming up on Pets Allowed today,
we're going to the groomer. It's not just about good looks for your pets. There are many health benefits that are very important, especially during warmer weather for our pets to get them groomed. We'll hear from Denise, our dog groomer at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic.
We're going to be looking at some of the pests that are going to be sort of annoying your pets this sort of warmer weather as well, and some of the treatments on how to use and how to use those treatments too.
And spring's not only a busy time for us at the Lost Dogs Home, but also for Wildlife Victoria. We're going to hear from Lee about the types of emergency calls they receive and what you can do to help protect Australian wildlife.
We're also going to hear from someone who's just recently adopted from the Lost Dogs Home as well, and she is just a bit of a new mum.
And an excited new mum at that.
Excited new mum who comes in every day questioning something new, giving us a call or an email.
Why does she do this?
How do I do? What's going on? This morning's was, my cat is running around like crazy all morning. What do I do? And that's actually normal for a cat. Stick around. We're going to bring in the Lost Dogs Home news wrap. This is Pets Allowed with Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
The Pets Allowed news wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to have a look at some of the news and events from the Lost Dogs Home this week in the Pets Allowed news wrap. And it is the election weekend this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I haven't seen anything anywhere about it. And I wouldn't assume that. But, apparently this weekend we go and decide what's going to happen with politics. But you might want to take your pooch down to the polling station.
That's right. So we didn't really want to talk about who to vote for, but we got some helpful advice on our website this week about, taking your dog to vote. And it's a great opportunity to get out and about, with your dog and maybe put them in a situation they might not be used to. So meeting new people, meeting new dogs.
Socialisation.
Like, so just a few tips. We think, if you are going to walk with your dog to your local polling booth, then perhaps take someone along with you so you can take in turns holding the dog. Sometimes polling booths will allow you to go in there and vote with your dog, and you may ask their advice about who to vote for, and they might put their paw of approval on it, but generally speaking, they'll have to wait outside. I guess lots of busy, being really, really busy, just make sure that you're aware that people may come and try and pat your dog, and your dog's...
There might be some kids around and things like that
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. So make sure your dog's comfortable with that, or people know, and, maybe it's an educational opportunity for the kids. This is
That's
how
right.
you approach a dog. And if you have to tie them up outside to...
just be very careful.
Yeah, exactly. Dogs tend to react a little bit differently when they're tied up. They don't feel quite as secure. So if you have to do that, maybe even just do it a little bit away from the main entrance to the polling booth. But I think it's a great idea to take your dog.
And then you can, after you've voted, you can head out, go for a bit of a walk
That's
around,
right.
go down to the local park or something like
That's
that.
Right. You could share a sausage on the way out
That's
if it's
right.
a sausage sizzle. Yeah.
Absolutely. You should be, and your dog will be probably voting for the sausage if you do take them down there as well.
Right.
Definitely voting for the bacon party or the sausage party, whichever, thing. So, yeah, check that out. That will be coming up on our website later today on dogshome.com. Now, we did also hear this week from Sonia from Animal Accident and Emergency. She wanted to let us know and let our listeners know that there's been quite a few snake bites recently.
Yeah.
They've had a couple of incidents of fatal snake bites.
Oh, really? That's sad.
Yeah, it is. And it's not just dogs. It's dog and cat as well. So, be on the lookout when you're on a walk. It is coming into the warmer weather, so snakes are starting to sort of be a bit more active and head out.
Yep.
Keeping your dogs on a short lead is the best way. So, you know, don't let them roam too far. And don't let them sniff around long grass, because that's generally where the snakes will hide, or sort of dry long grass. Also, be careful around any areas where there's water. So, like lakes or drains, creeks,
along
or
the
golf
Yarra
course,
River. If, you know, if you walk along there, there's lots of long... It's really quite bushy along there too. So, it's a perfect spot for snakes. So, really be careful. And a lot of people walk their dogs there.
So, just, yeah, be very, very careful about that. If it's an area with sort of mice and rats around too, generally you'll find snakes, because that's a sort of a food zone. Cats, unfortunately, you know, there's no foolproof way. Same with dogs, about stopping snakes from getting into your yard, because that could happen, or cats can sort of...
So you can't make it snake-proof, really, can you?
It's quite difficult. Yeah, you sort of would be looking at cat enclosures or keeping your cats inside, which is sort of what we recommend anyway, because, you know, especially with sort of feral cats, cancer and things like that as well is sort of prevalent. So, pet insurance is another thing to consider during the season, because you can be looking at, like, pretty expensive charges as well. So,
And maybe, you know, walk them perhaps not in the heat of the day when a snake might be out basking. Maybe walk, you know, early in the evening when snakes are perhaps less – early in the day rather than later in the evening.
Yeah, when they're less likely to be active and out.
But, it's a very scary prospect being bitten – getting bitten by a snake.
Absolutely. You know, if you do have any questions, you can contact the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic for advice
That's right. Most clinics will have an anti-venom as well to treat snake bite.
It depends on the clinic. Most of them, it's usually the sort of emergency centres that will have them. The smaller clinics might not, because of sort of less of an incidence of actually getting animals coming in with snake bites. Just checking with your clinic as well and knowing where to go. So if your clinic doesn't have anti-venom and you know that you're in an area where there might be the possibility, check around the area. Where are my closest vet clinics that I can go to that actually would stock
this? That's good advice,
as well. Now, each week on Pets Allowed, we do like to introduce you to someone very special for this week's
Pet of the Week.
We have a lovely little guy. His name is Rigsby. Kate, why don't you tell us all about him?
Well, he's a Jack Russell Terrier cross, but Kevin and I think he's got a touch of the corgi about him.
He does look like he's got a very happy face.
He's got a beautiful big white chest and paws and legs, but he's got black markings on his face. He usually sits and looks at you with one ear up and one ear down. He's got a slightly longer sort of coat, so he's very cute. He is 5 years old. He's a bit of a pocket rocket, as we said before. He's a really active young man. He'll keep you on your toes. He's busy and inquisitive, but very, very lovable. But he will need to go out for walks regularly to keep his mind active and to keep him maybe a little bit exhausted even. And ongoing training would be really great for him as well. Now, due to some neglect with his previous owner or maybe some ignorance, he came into the home with a very heavy flea infestation. Yeah, so we've treated him for that. But as a result of that, he has developed some dermatitis that we are also treating. But going forward, if you adopt lovely Rigsby, you will need to make sure that he has regular flea treatment to prevent him from getting fleas again. He's also had some warts and a little bit of lumps, as you do when you get a bit older, you know, removed. But that's fine. That'll heal fine and his hair will grow over and you won't ever see that. So he's at our North Melbourne shelter. His ID number, if you want to write it down, is 948997. He's ready for adoption now. And you can contact our shelter for more information on 93292755, or you can visit Ruby on our website at dogshome.com.
Or come down to the shelter this weekend and meet all of our candidates up for adoption. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. And you're here with Kevin and Kate. We are talking all things spring. We did have quite a nice week.
What have you done this week that's different?
Went to the beach. I hadn't been to the dog beach for quite a while, so I did that this week, which was great. Now, spring is here. She's not holding back, and there's been a great vibe in the air with the recent warming of temperatures, putting a spring in our steps and smiles on our faces.
Last week, Kev and I checked out how to prepare your home for the warmer months. We recapping on some of those points, we looked at spring cleaning and cleaning toys, bedding, bowls, washing them, getting them all ready for spring. We looked at bushfire plans as well, and having those at the ready, checking that that's still relevant to where you're at, where you're living now, and a backyard blitz as well. You do your own mini backyard blitz and sort of look at plants that maybe cause allergies, and removing those things like wandering dew.
And any of those sort of problems that may be happening in your backyard as well. Look, today we're going to look at how to prepare your pooch. Make sure your dog is prepared for this warmer weather, not just for spring, but for summer as well.
That's right. Just, what you need to do as a responsible owner to make sure that they're ready and ready to get out and about this spring.
Ready to get out. Now, look, it is a busy time at the shelter as well. We do get quite a few kittens coming in. Not so much of the puppies. They come in sort of all year round. This is sort of the time with the warmer weather we see more breeding activity with cats. Now, Kate, what's the sort of reason for that?
Well, cats breed during warmer weather. They like to breed in summer months generally. So come spring, they're beginning to get more active and we're starting to breed. So we'll see an increase in kittens coming into the home and also cats as well. Cats and dogs in general will move around more in the warmer weather like us. You know, they'll curl up and stay put if it's cold weather to stay warm, but if it's warm, they'll be feeling more comfortable walking around. So
especially around spring, because when you're looking at summer, it generally gets a bit too hot for them, so they sort of find the shade. But in springtime, it's nice weather. You know, it's 20 degrees, 25 degrees. That's the times when they start wandering around and exploring.
So if you've got a dog or a cat or a kitten or even a puppy over the winter months and it isn't desexed, now is definitely the time to make sure that your pet is desexed, especially if it is a cat, because as I said, they're going into the breeding season. And it's not just to prevent, you know, unwanted pregnancies and puppies and kittens and things like that, but it's also, you know, I think the right thing to do for them. They'll be less anxious, they'll be more comfortable if they're not going into heat, or, you know, for males not feeling like they need to go out and find a female to mate with.
There's a lot of good health reasons there as well.
There are long-term health benefits, especially in later years. So, you know, we urge anyone who hasn't desexed their pet to really do that now. And you can, of course, book into the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic to have that surgery done. We also see an increase in sort of skin issues as well at the shelter at this time of year, and allergies, don't we, Kev?
Yeah, absolutely. And as we said about Rigsby, you know, he does have a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
It's sort of the warmer weather, there's sort of more seeds about. It's, you know, as we get hay fever and stuff like that, some dogs and cats can get hay fever, develop allergies. So, yeah, definitely check all those things as well. Now, it's also a time when we're going to be travelling a fair bit. So, you know, if you're looking at taking your pet out on holidays with you, Kate, what are the most important things to do?
Well, the most important thing is to make sure that your microchip and tag contact information corresponding to that is up to date. And we'll talk more about that probably later in another show too, because we do have a campaign and awareness about keeping information up to date. Now, you know, we go on holidays with our pets. Lots of us love to do that. I mean, I know there's a girl in our office who went on holidays to Adelaide.
To South Australia, and the dog decided to run away.
But they rang Sharon.
Thankfully, she had tags on that dog.
That's right, and microchip.
And probably because he's quite used to getting out. His name's Harry. He's Harry Houdini.
That's right. So, yeah, and we're also more social at this time of year as well. So we're out and about, so making sure that if your pet's left behind, that you're caring for them properly, and that, again, that ID's up to date. So should they go looking for you or get out because they're, you know, not happy being left alone more often than they used to.
And check their collars and everything as well, because, you know, over the winter month, it might have sustained some damage from the wetness and everything like that. So checking that it's snug enough not to fall off, and that your telephone details are up to date.
That you can still read them, because sometimes, you know, especially if it's an engraved tag, that wear and tear, or a council tag
as well,
or free ID tag from National Pet Register, they do wear out sometimes. So make sure that those numbers are really easy to read.
Sorry, I was just going to say, the other thing is just easing your dog back into exercise as well, because, you know, winter is a time when they do sometimes put on a few kilos. And so you want to make sure that they're more active and you're going to be more active. But like us, they need that sort of ease into it as well. Now, if your dog has put on a few kilos, we do have the Slimmers Club at the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. That's run in consultation with our vet nurse, Jeannie. She'll look at sort of nutrition, exercise, all that kind of stuff, and just make sure that your pet is sort of losing that winter weight as well. So that's something to look at if you feel like your pet has put on a few kilos as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Now, this is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. We are talking all things spring and pets. We'll be right back chatting with our groomer, Denise, right after this. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. All throughout the program today, we are talking a bit about spring. Now, we've recently had a new groomer start at the Lost Dogs Home, Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. Denise, she's great. She's got
She's
fully equipped with everything. She's got a grooming table. She's got the new hydro bath and everything like that, ready for, you know, pets to come in now. She's getting a little bit busier at the moment because winter.
She loves what she does,
She absolutely does love it. She's, you know, after winter, dogs are having that winter coat. They're molting, that kind of stuff. So it is time to sort of, your dog's coat is getting a bit longer, to sort of look at whether or not you need to get them groomed. Now, Denise and I caught up this week to chat a bit about grooming. Here we go.
Splish splash, I was taking a bath.
Saturday night.
I'm here at the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic with our groomer Denise to chat a bit about spring. Now, Denise, is spring a bit of a busier time for grooming?
Yes, it is. This is the time when we start getting very busy. The pollens are out, dogs are still out in the park playing, their hair's starting to molt, they pick up seeds, so everybody wants their dogs in to be cleaned and clipped off.
And they're sort of coming out of winter, so dogs would be losing their winter coat?
Correct, yes. They're losing their winter coat, and a lot of them haven't been getting groomed regularly, so they're now coming in matted, which is a big job for us to try and get their coat off and get them cool for summer.
You mentioned sort of grass seeds and stuff. What are the kind of things we should be looking out for when we do go to the park?
Avoiding long grass if you know dog sensitive, because they could pick up allergies. There are grass seeds in the grass now starting to grow with this nice warm weather, so the dogs can pick them up in their pads of their feet. So normally when I groom a dog, I always look at their feet and I shave just behind the big pad where those grass seeds can get stuck, so we avoid those sort of problems that can happen in the future. Also their ears, they can get grass seeds in their ears, so they need to be checked regularly as well.
And what about maintenance in between grooming sessions? So you generally would say every sort of 6 weeks, is it, for a groom?
6 weeks are to come in for a professional groom, yes, but maintenance for the owner really should be done, depends on the length of the coat of the dog. If the dog's got long hair, they really need to be brushed daily. Medium-sized hair would be weekly, and then you can go on to fortnightly with really short hair, but they all need to be brushed in between coming into a professional groomer.
Generally speaking, what are the types of breeds you would see that need a groom more often?
Okay, we get a lot of cross breeds, Shih Tzu cross Maltese. We get a lot of poodle cross, they call them oodle dogs. They're all sorts of shaboodles and spoodles and all sorts of those dogs. That's the main, you usually get those white fluffy dogs that are very, very popular.
You've got a client in with you today. He is absolutely gorgeous and looking for a clip. Tell us a bit about him.
Okay, he's Labrador cross poodle, desperate need for a haircut. His owner came in this morning and just said, look, clip him off nice and short. He's got a little bit of matted fur around his front legs and around his bottom, very thick around his ears, so he's going to really appreciate having all that hair cut off today.
That was Denise, our groomer from the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic.
She's great, isn't she? I love Denise.
She is great.
She's groomed my dogs. Like last week, I actually had both Molly and Tess groomed by Denise, and she did a brilliant job. They had a great day there with Denise. Molly came out with a nice coconut
perfume or cologne.
She smelled gorgeous. And Tess came out with a bow in her hair.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
I can't recommend Denise enough at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic.
Now, look, grooming is not just for health, not just for looks. So regular grooming is important for the health and well-being of your pet.
And I think also Denise said that she looked at the pads when she got the dog in for grass seeds. But I think that as owners, just I guess to put that out there, that's something we should do on every day or pretty much every time you take a dog out for a walk and you bring it home, you should always be checking for grass seeds, especially if you've been in those long grasses and they're dry.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because the dry grass releases.
We have seen at the Lost Dogs Home sort of the problems that grass seeds can form when, you know, sort of the hair grows around them or they get stuck in the shoulder or something like that.
They bed into the flesh and they cause abscesses and they can actually get into the bloodstream and move through the dog as well. So they can cause them a lot of pain and it's really, really important to be vigilant to look for them.
Absolutely. Now, if you are looking at getting your dog groomed, you can check out the Lost Dogs Home Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic for that service. You can find that more information about that on our website at dogshome.com. Coming up, we're going to be looking at stamping out the pests for your pets from your yard. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy at 94.9. Andrew, he's listening to the show. He's thinking about setting up a dog walking business.
Yeah.
Now, we will send you an email, Andrew, off air, just because there is a lot to think about when setting up a business like that. So we're going to get back to you on that.
They're very popular these days too, dog walking businesses.
Yeah, it is quite a big thing. Now, we are looking at the moment about spring tips for your pets.
We are.
We want to talk about sort of stamping out pests in your garden because there's a lot of pests around.
Yes,
and
just
that.
Like pests. We can't really stamp them out, Kevin. They have a role to play. But we have to manage them with our pets, you know, and they annoy our pets just like we get annoyed by flies and mosquitoes and things. So, you know, consider your pet as there's more flies about. They also get annoyed, and because dogs can have weepy eyes or they might, it's a discharge or saliva around their mouth, flies can be attracted to those areas. So keeping those wiped clean for the dog would be good. I mean, some dogs can, you know, those longer haired dogs can have a few dags as well at the other end.
At the rear end.
So keeping that clean is really, really important too, so you're not attracting flies. And dogs also with...
Perky ears that stand up
can be also subject to what we call fly bite. So the flies can bite into the edge of the ear that brings up the blood, and then it becomes a circle that the flies continually be attracted to that blood that keeps as the ears bleed. And for those floppy eared dogs, it's generally behind the ear that you might get some fly bite. Now there's repellents and things that you can get. There's a cream that you can put on ears and things that repels flies. You can probably spray your dog or around that area as well. But I guess you need to consider whether that's not going to be toxic to your dog, and if you can use, I guess, a more natural product, that would be great.
Or get sort of a vet-recommended one or one that's made by a pet.
Yeah, and most
well.
most vets will sell those products for you. So consider your pets with flies. It's really important. They don't have a hand like us to, you know, swat
away.
Swipe
they do
or
have
do
a tail for the back end, but
know,
not usually but the
it's
front
not,
end.
Yeah, not the same.
It's the same with mosquitoes. Now, most people might think, oh, mosquitoes just bite us. They don't bite our pets. But it's actually the way that heartworm is sort of one of the main methods that it's transferred around. So make sure that your pet is 100% protected against the disease. Keep up on top of heartworm medication. You know, you can get a yearly injection, or you can sort of do monthly or three-monthly. And any sort of still water around that sort of can breed mosquitoes. So especially if you live around areas with sort of a lake or a creek. Now, you can use the repellents as well, but, you know, it's the same with sort of worms. So, Kate, yes. You can get worming treatments that do have heartworm treatment in there
as
well.
Yeah, you can look at an all-wormer and I guess look at it really carefully and discuss it with your vet. They can treat all worms, you know, roundworms, hookworms, tapeworms and heartworm as well. And some wormers actually can also, or some flea treatments can have a worming element to them as well that, you know, that you apply directly on the skin. Now, you really should, I guess, you know, you should be keeping your worming treatment up all throughout the year, but coming into the warm weather again, when dogs are out socializing more, transferring whatever between each other, and we're also more active, you know, make sure you're on top of that parasite control. It's really important.
Same with fleas. So you're looking at flea treatments as well. So unless you're using an all-round flea treatment or worm treatment, which generally you'll be using one month or 3 months or something like that, check out those flea treatments as well. So there's a range of products that you can use. If you've always got a question, ask your vet. Now, one of the most important things that we are talking about
we can't stress it enough,
identification, microchipping, you know, keeping your things. We're going to be more social in summer or spring. Yep. You know, you're looking at going out. Your dog might be looking at being more awake. Because it's not winter, it's not that cold, they're a bit warmer.
That's right.
It's really important, Kate, going away as well.
Yeah, because quite often I think we travel more and more with our dogs these days when we go on holidays, and you're taking them into an area that they're not familiar with. Like some of us, lucky ones of us, may have a beach house that the dog travels to regularly and they know that
area.
They get used to it. But, you know, a lot of us go somewhere and staying with friends, and it's a different environment for the dog. So make sure that they've got one ID on them. That's the most important thing. And two, that it's up to date as well. So that, I guess, a mobile number is the most important number to have, because that's something that you'll always have with you. And also make sure you have an emergency contact, someone who's not travelling with you that you trust, that could collect your dog or relay a message to you, and that would always be contactable as well.
The same as if you're going away and you're leaving your pet behind, contacting your microchip register, making sure your details are up to date, but also putting the details of the person that's looking after them.
And if you're going away, making sure that you're either with a responsible or a reputable boarding facility, or you're leaving them with a responsible person is really important. Now, if you haven't had your pet microchipped, you know, consider that in the next few weeks as well. The National Pet Register will be out and about at some events where we do reduce cost microchipping for $25. So you can look those. We'll have those dates up on the Joy website as well as our Facebook
page.
They are
also on the Pet Register website, which is petregister.com/events. But if you check that out online, you'll find all the sort of microchipping dates coming up.
And if you've got any identification questions, the Pet Register team will be more than happy to help you. You know, how do you go about updating your information? What microchip register is my pet registered on? How do I update my tag information? Even if you want a new tag, we'll do engraved tags.
Absolutely, we do engraved tags. Well, you can contact us 1-300-REG-PET or check out the website for that as well. Coming up, we're going to hear from Lee Ferraro from Wildlife Victoria about sort of the impact of pets and wildlife at springtime. This is Pets Allowed.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
You're on Pets Aloud with Kevin and Kate from the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Now, look, springtime does not only mean an increased breeding activity among companion animals like cats, but also Australian wildlife. Each year around this time, we receive warnings to look out for swooping magpies, snakes. We see more displaced young birds and, sadly, growing numbers of roadkill heading into the warmer months.
In spring, emergency calls to Wildlife Victoria typically doubles to 300 per day, which I think is a huge number. And while emergency services and emergency services receive up to 100 orphans each week, with volunteers stationed across the state to assist Wildlife Victoria services, Metropolitan Melbourne through to regional Victoria.
Our producer, Oz, caught up with Lee Ferraro from Wildlife Victoria earlier this week, who starts off here by explaining the typical cases they do see around this time of the year.
We're getting a lot of fledgling birds coming through. So obviously everyone is well aware of, you know, birds building nests in their backyards and then small birds in the nests, and everyone loves that. But then there's a period before they can fly and they're a little bit too big for the nest. Mm-hmm. So they might get moved from the nest by their parents and they'll spend some time on the ground. So you'll be able to tell these types of birds because they might have a mix of fluffy feathers still and then some adult feathers. And it's a natural part of their development to spend some time on the ground. Certainly they're learning to fly, they're building up their chest muscles and things like that. We get a lot of calls for ducklings. Normally, obviously, ducklings will be around large bodies of water, but then when it actually comes to making their nest, they might travel up to 4 kilometres away from that body of water. So they might make a nest in your backyard if it's a particularly nice backyard or you've got a swimming pool. But certainly, again, it's a natural cycle and the ducklings will hatch. They might go for a quick swim in your pool. It's always important to make sure they can get out. If they can't, they may drown, so a plank or something they can walk out of. And then an open side gate, and they'll march on to the closest body of water and they'll be on their way. But we do get a lot of concern calls about people that think they're sick or something's wrong, or certainly they might be in danger from cats in the neighbourhood and things like that. We're just trying to encourage people to let them be and certainly monitor them from a distance. If you think there is something wrong, mm-hmm. certainly don't be afraid to give us a call. We'd rather that you check with us and we'll be able to go through it with you on the phone. But a lot of the time, it's just a natural part of the process.
So what are some of the most interesting calls you receive at Wildlife Victoria?
Look, we get a few calls, you know, obviously where intervention is required, where the ducks may make a nest on top of someone's chimney and then the ducklings hatch and kind of float down the chimney stack.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so we've had some people that have come home and there's ducklings and there's little soot footprints mm-hmm. all through their lounge room where the ducklings will all spread out and run around. But most of the time, it's a matter of nature taking its course and just letting them move on naturally.
And so in terms of not interfering directly with them, is that an important thing? Because the first thing that comes to my mind is actually handling that animal and will that impact on their relationship with their mothers?
There is a bit of an old wives' tale there about mm-hmm. once you touch a bird that it's going to be rejected or something like that. That's not true at all. So certainly if it's a young bird in need, and certainly there are cases where they have legitimately fallen out and they need to be put back in their nest or something like that, or it may have been left behind. Certainly if a mother duck is on her way with her ducklings and one's gotten stuck, it's a little bit too small or something like that, certainly we would, we're going to encourage intervention there to try and help it. And certainly we have had a lot of cases where, a small bird can be brought in for care if there's something wrong with its leg or something like that. It can be checked out and then it can be returned and they are accepted.
You're tuned into Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9 and I'm currently on the line with Lee Ferraro from Wildlife Victoria and he's telling us all about the effects that spring has on our natural wildlife. What are some other issues, particularly we know with summer, kangaroos do travel.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.